I'm very happy now to welcome Valerie Martinez. She is executive director and core artist in Little Globe. She's a poet and playwright and much more. And Chris Jonas joins us. He is a composer and he's the director of media and music with Little Globe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much. Pleasure being here.
It's great to have you. And so the two of you are here to talk about a production that's happening this coming Saturday at the National Hispanic Cultural Center. It's a production of Little Globe called Salve, Women on War and Warriorship. So how did this whole production come into being?
It came into being several years ago in thinking about how little we actually know about the experiences of veterans. And the only reason we're focusing on women vets for this performance is that this takes place during Women and Creativity Month, which is a month-long series of events in Santa Fe and Albuquerque revolving around women and creativity. But the idea was that a lot of time in the news media, there are a lot of absolutes about soldiers and war and the military and all of that. And I think Molly Sturgis, also core artist member, artistic director of Little Globe, began thinking about how little we actually know about the internal experiences of war from the perspective of veterans. And so we decided to interview veterans, men and women, and think about creating something that would honor their experiences, would explore their experiences, and that's sort of how it came about.
I think what's very interesting and important to do is to do this all in a nonpartisan and sort of non-political way, but really be about the people, about their experiences, about their emotions, about their whole life experience connected with being in war.
Yes, and I think what's interesting about the interviews is when you actually listen to these vets talk, there's such a complex configuration of where they stand in terms of the experience of war. There's a mix, especially among the women, of intense patriotism for most of them, a really strong desire, either because there's a history of military service in their families or a strong belief in the fact that soldiers fight for the freedoms that the rest of us enjoy. And oftentimes they'll say the freedom to protest, the freedom to oppose the war. They'll often talk about that's what soldiers give us the right to do. At the same time, we get through the interviews, the real hard realities of what war is like. And for the women, that includes some of them have experienced sexual assault by their fellow soldiers. So in listening to the women talk, you are forced to sort of embrace the complexity of all of that at once. And so I never felt in my interviews that you had warmongers. That just didn't happen so much. You had people who believed in fighting, but it was never like that. It was never simple. And so we hope that the performance allows people to also take in and embrace the fact that our soldiers are navigating a really complicated territory in terms of their own views and perspectives and certainly experiences of war.
So you did a whole bunch of interviews.
I think between Molly and I, between us, we maybe did about 7 or 8 total.
Oh, okay. And then how did you make them into a performance?
We transcribed or took very careful notes from each interview. And for this performance, we focused on the women. And it was a matter of choosing pieces of text, passages, and then Molly particularly, she's the musician, I'm the writer, interviewer, and she took particular passages that became sort of refrains or choruses. The performance also includes of the various of those of us who are performing and speaking. Sometimes we'll read for longer periods of time good bits of a part of an interview. Sometimes we're just taking words and phrases. Sometimes we're creating sounds with syllables that become sort of pieces of the music.
It makes me think of the Laramie Project, where people were interviewed and then their real words are used on stage, but not spoken by them, spoken instead by performers.
Yes, and on the Little Globe, we have a very strong commitment to creating works of art and performance with communities. And in order for those communities to have a sense of ownership or belonging to that, we try to very much look to what's powerful and beautiful about the words that they give us and try to work with those. Sometimes we certainly edit a little, but in terms of these performances, we add very little text to what they gave us. The only difference in this year's performance is I wrote response poems to some of the text directly from theirs. But in previous years, really the text itself comes directly and only from the vets.
And you were doing live music, Chris Jonas and others as well, during the performance.
Yeah, we're the structure of the performance itself will include a number of people who are reading. Molly will be sort of the master conductor, as it were, and she'll be interleaving what's going on with the spoken word aspect along with the musical side. I'll be in charge of the musical side of things. And we'll be providing both realms of contrast. We'll be creating textures on top of which the words go. We'll be weaving and intermixing. So in many ways, there's similarities to something like the Laramie Project or Anna DeVere Smith's work, which is almost documentary. It's sort of subjective documentary. In our case, we're really using it in addition to is being pictures of people and their experiences, we're also using it as artistic fodder, and we're contextualizing it in a very different kind of a way. One of the things that we think about in terms of the music itself is if somebody is talking about a rather difficult thing, rather than creating scary music or, you know, rather than contextualizing it with what you'd expect music to contextualize, if it's a description of war, we're not going to create war music. We actually may look for a contrasting music to underscore another aspect of it. So we're looking at different layers of meaning and contextualization.
I was wondering, Valerie, if you might read an excerpt from one of your interviews and maybe one of your poems.
I'd be happy to. I'll actually maybe read some of the pieces, if that's okay, from the chorus or refrains that come up. I think in themselves they become like a poem, but they're from different interviews. Will there ever be a moment when it is not present in my thoughts, in my spirit, in my body? I'm a fourth generation vet, and I am proud to be a vet. I'm always checking my doors, locking my doors. I'm worried about little things. Unfortunately, everything in New Mexico looks like Iraq. I'm definitely not patriotic, never was. I just joined to get money for school, and I never agreed with Iraq. How could we do this? People see that I have all my limbs. Yes, but the wounds are in here, and then she motioned to her heart. They're inside. It's such a drastic, life-changing thing, and then you come home. And the one I answered was part of an interview of a woman who was sexually assaulted by one of her fellow soldiers, and she had a knife that she carried around at night. So I used a quote from the interview where she said, "I would carry my little knife," and I wrote this poem. Because my grandfather gave it to my father, because my father gave it to my brother, because my brother in the VA, wet and twisted in white sheets, telling me, "I don't want you to go," gives it to me, I carry my little knife. From Albuquerque to Texas to Alabama to Iraq, because their hands held it, because it swung in their pockets, because it whittled down, cut through, pried open, because it's rusted with jungle water, sweat, gunpowder, sand, wiped clean of blood, I carry my little knife. Because it is heirloom, kitchen tool, talisman, totem, because it is a weapon and nobody told me I would need it even at night to get from here to the bathroom among the men in my own unit. Because I tell myself, wet and twisting in the heat, to keep my mind on the mission, the IED lying in wait, my name on a bullet. Because at the right angle, and if it was once more shiny, it would be a mirror reminding me who I am and why I'm here. I light and maybe a tear flashing. The two of us, little knife and soldier woman, saying, I do it because I can do it, because I want the people I love to be safe.
Valerie Martinez, the performance is called Sav, Women on War and Warriorship. It is this coming Saturday, March 6th, at the National Hispanic Cultural Center at 8 in the evening. It's in commemoration of Women and Creativity Month. Let's talk more about Little Globe. This is an organization that's been around for some years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the origins of Little Globe go back to New York City. One of Molly's first projects was working with a group of women, middle-aged women with cancer, or women who were survivors of cancer. And she was asked to create a project engaging that community. And I think one of the things that she very quickly discovered was how much that experience was an isolating one. And that, you know, the women in the ensemble who signed up to become part of the ensemble and who had never, in many cases, had never performed, or but they had sort of been egged into this position, they found themselves working together and forming a community. And she utilized a lot of experimental art forms to do this. She used video, which is one of the cores of what we do, a lot of performance, a lot of personal narrative, and experimental movement and set building and things like that. That was such a positive experience, and it was so life-changing for Molly and the rest of us who were part of it, as well as the ensemble itself, which, by the way, the ensemble, and this is probably 12 years later, the ensemble still is an active group, supporting one another, but also performing. Since then, Molly went on to create a number of projects like this, and we formed a nonprofit to help to support those projects as well as our own personal projects. And so in the early days of Circus Luminous, Little Globe was one of the producing partners. And we've done a whole array of different things. I think the time that Val came on board in the most singular way was a project for the Santa Fe Opera, Memory Lines,
right,
in which we were asked to do a piece about Santa Fe. And rather than doing what people expected, we did a semi-random selection of people from the community and formed an ensemble.
What do you think people expected?
Well, I think that the hopes were, it was a Santa Fe Opera Commission. They hoped that there would be one of us as the composer, we'd have a classic, you know, opera production team.
Okay.
And that we'd have professional performers on stage, you know, singing the songs of Santa Fe. And
Ari is about chili. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And mariachis and
right.
Pueblo dances and the whole nine yards. It ended up actually becoming a very interesting meditation on the identity of what it is to be a Santa Fean, which in my mind, after these many years of quite a number of now Little Globe explorations of community and identity, it's very much of an individually dictated kind of thing. You know, we are in many cases who we are as a component of where we're from, but in many other cases, we're also many other things. Sometimes we have conflicting things internally, you know. Somebody will say you're from this one specific demographic, and the truth of the matter is that there's a lot more to the story than that. And I would say that Little Globe has really engaged those kinds of issues.
Yeah, I think opening up the complexity of what can be oversimplified identity politics is a really good thing.
Yeah, and we should say about Memory Lines and most of our projects is that we work with people in the community. So the 24 people, community residents in Memory Lines, were people who wouldn't ordinarily probably share the same space. And we also work longer term. So we worked from January, two sessions a week from January to June, where this ensemble came together. And we explore creatively. So we don't come together and have discussions about community. We basically come together and share food and engage in creative exercise that involve all the different mediums, from film to visual art to poetry and writing, music. And so that what we've seen happen is that people work together. That seems to be very, very important, is that actually even before we're prepared, if we need to talk about some of the tough issues, what we learn to do is to collaborate. And Little Globe sessions require everyone, including us, to take some risks where, you know, I always talk about when, with memory lines, you know, I'm a poet. I mean, really, if I had my way, though I do a lot of performing now, I would be in a room and writing poems. And I was moving and composing with my mouth and doing all kinds of things that were, for me, pushing the envelope. And there are people in the ensemble who wouldn't call themselves artists. And what you see in that process is you learn to be vulnerable around each other. You learn to depend on each other. You create things together. And there's something really powerful about what that does to people in a group, because you start to learn what you can do together before you identify each other as coming from a certain political perspective or a point of view. And so what we've seen is that builds capacity. It builds connections between people, but it also builds a certain capacity for the group. And so Memory Lines was really a collaboration of the core artist team, those of us in 24. And the performance, the content of the performance, what Chris is talking about, what was hard for the opera and some of the other sponsors to understand is they'd say, well, what is this going to be about, this opera? And we'd say, we don't know. We're going to watch and see what emerges.
Right.
And that was difficult for them to wrap their mind around. What do you mean you don't know? We don't know what it's going to be about. We actually don't even know what the music's going to be like, because that's going to depend on the ensemble, too. We don't know what the text is going to be like. We watched that emerge.
And it was a very successful performance. Everybody loved it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think the audience, our response from the audience is that people were deeply moved because they, well, for all the reasons we felt that way about it, because we discovered, too, what people thought and what they made together. And
I mean, I think we create opportunities for both, initially, an ensemble, within an ensemble, to develop affinities, empathy between people. Oftentimes, empathy between people who would normally prejudge one another and be afraid of one another, to develop an empathetic relationship in which they can support one another, love each other. I think it's interesting. And then you can build an artistic content around and about that.
And you can also start bringing together community members who have had divisions or haven't really been in contact with each other, and for reasons that might have been just old and stale, but they're still not talking to each other.
And I think that there's something that's very emotionally moving about engaging that exact realm. I mean, one of the things about Little Globe is we don't shy away from really difficult things. And I don't. And as you remember, probably a lot of the content that came out as a consequence of the Memory Lines project was about immigration,
right,
and about the relationship between recent immigrants into Santa Fe and those of us who have been here for a longer period of time. That was a very difficult arena, particularly that year. I mean, that was the year in which, you know, the immigration moved in and set up camp here.
And raids and
that was the spring of those raids.
And that was a pretty central theme that emerged from that project as a consequence. And those are, you know, and the same thing when it comes to sexual abuse in the military, any kind of realm like that. I mean, we don't go in looking for those things, but invariably by opening the door, we find some of those things. And we don't, like I said, we don't shy away from them.
Well, I think what happens is we create a safe space, hopefully a safe space for people to engage. And what happened with the immigration raids is they came about 2 months into the project. So we had 2 months of meeting together twice a week. And one Saturday, for me, it's an unforgettable Saturday, was after the week of those raids. And some of the people in the ensemble came, including a family or two, who were terrified.
Yeah.
And who had just a horrific week. And there the whole ensemble was sitting, and there was a space for them to come to. There was a space that they knew and they felt safe in, though we had not talked, I think, openly about politics or immigration. And certainly in that room were people who reflected the whole spectrum of perspectives on immigrants and immigration. We actually know that. But because the group had formed bonds at that point, still fairly early, we could hold that as an ensemble and listen to people's stories and feel them, as Chris is talking about, feel their genuine fear and sadness and grief and all of that. And I remember that being a turning point in the project, because in some ways it didn't determine all of the content of Memory Lines, but what some people remark as the most emotionally evocative moment in that opera, which was consisted of screens in a circle, and you just saw the shadows of body parts pressing along the screen. It was a very powerful moment. And so that's kind of how we think about our work. The same thing again with Sav, which is a little bit different. It's smaller, but then we did a project in the Cuba, Ojo Encino, Torreon area with
Cuba, New Mexico,
yeah. Yes, with about 150 people, but an 80-member ensemble, ages 5 through 87, I think, who created a festival. And so we believe in this work because I think we all feel the meaning of it and the beauty of it. But one other thing I just want to mention is we're also working, I think, when we like to think about in a rigorous way as artists. The process of these projects, I think, is, for me as an artist, rigorous because it's an intense, sustained process of creative engagement and community engagement. But I think what Chris is talking about, the music for Sav in some ways, is you won't find what's maybe predictable or traditional. So we, as artists, core artists and individual artists, are working what we hope is in interesting ways and rigorous ways as artists, and that I hope belongs to all of our projects. We do talk about, like, we wish that, I think, don't you think, Chris?
Absolutely, and I think that one of the, you know, in terms of the development and the growth of Little Globe, I think a place that we're coming to is the work itself is growing, the support for the work is growing, but each one of us as artists are growing as well. Mm. And you would think that there could be a potential split in that, you know, any one of our careers could be growing to the point where we just don't have time for Little Globe style work anymore. But what's interesting is I think that in many ways our own personal expression is getting even deeper into the classic Little Globe community collaboration style work, where we are bringing more artistic rigor to it.
And which is very important, because all the great content in the world is not fun to watch if it's not done in a way that is artistically really viable and as you say, rigorous.
And it's also not satisfying for the performers or the artists.
Right.
I mean, one of the things I love doing, like, for example, you know, we're talking about the Cuba project, which is an ongoing project. Last year, the musical ensemble consisted of whoever wanted to come and be a part of the musical ensemble. And rather than writing music and then forcing people to play that music, what we did is I found out what they could play, what they like playing. And so we had a number of teenagers who were into Navajo kids who were into death metal. So that was an absolutely integral part to the project. We had ensemble members who knew traditional sort of folk stuff on guitar. We included that. We had folks who were, you know, who were deeply into Native American flute playing and things like that. And so we had this very unusual libretto.
That's so cool.
And the orchestra itself consisted of, you know, a death metal bass player and a folk guitar player and a Native American flute player and percussionist and a social organizer who plays viola. And it was a pretty wonderful thing. As a consequence, for me as an artist, I had a palette of things that I was working with that I would never, ever have. I never had such an opportunity to work with musical components like that. And
it hung together.
And it totally hung together, and it created, in some ways, I think it recontextualized what was going on stage in a way that was very exciting and fresh and different.
Well, it is true. I think one of the things we're conscious of is sometimes when people talk about community art, you know, there's art with a capital A and community art with a small C and small A, and that people tend to think of community art as maybe what you're saying, straightforward, even maybe simplistic, things like that. And so we're trying to explore where that isn't.
Yeah.
You know, where the idea of community art, community performance, so to speak, is still working in very interesting ways.
Chris Jonas is the director of media and music with Little Globe. He's a composer and video artist. Valerie Martinez is a poet. She's the executive director and another core artist in Little Globe. And their upcoming performance this coming Saturday, the 6th of March, at 8 in the evening is called SAV, Women on War and Warriorship, and it's at the National Hispanic Cultural Center in Albuquerque. I want to thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you
so
much.